I am just the worst because of this.
So at that point, I was rock bottom.
It's impossible. There's no way.
Because for a long time, I was always blaming myself. Like, this is all my fault. I started this.
And just had
this.
The mindset of, like, I'm never going to overcome this, you know? Like, I was giving in and letting Satan beat me into the ground.
The terrible kid who has to go to work. Like, I failed. Like, I got to the point.
I ended up losing a really horrible battle.
It's really in that moment that you're at that rock bottom stage that you have a fork in the road and you are forced to choose.
And I chose to fight, and I choose to fight today, and I'll choose to fight tomorrow because winning is worth it.
I just feel like the man right now.
Born fighting for my life, man, and now I fight to live. I don't just fight to live, dude, I fight to live the best life I can.
You're going to recover from this.
And if I can do this, you can do it.
It's like the start of a race, and that adrenaline's pumping, and you're like, let's go. Let's get going, because today, I change. And nothing, not even the armies of hell themselves, will stop me.
I am a warrior.
I'm a provider, presider, protector.
Satan is our enemy.
You're not alone?
Whatever
it
takes.
I fight with fury.
Let's go.
We will win this war. Don't mess with us.
This is the Eternal Warrior Podcast. Coming at you hot and heavy from Life Changing Services Studio.
So hot. It actually is hot today.
It's warm.
It is warm. And I have a hoodie on. I might take it off.
You do. You're burning up, man. But this is the Eternal Warrior Podcast, helping young people in their quest for self-mastery, sharing stories from the battlefront in the war against Satan and pornography. And
let's go.
Yes.
Let's go.
Okay.
Do you want to go?
I was going to say, we've had some incredible stories as of late.
Oh, man. So good.
I was re-listening to our conversation with Hayden throughout the week after we'd published it, and just being reminded of just what are the incredible people that are brave enough to come share their stories and to see, like, guys, Hayden is everything he says he is and more. And I know so many of you are like that as well, just... You have a warrior's credo to your life, and you live by your values, and it's so inspiring to me, and I know Spence feels the same way.
Dude, seriously though, and on that note, I feel like when we talk about having a masturbation and a pornography addiction, a lot of the time, obviously we've had a lot of self-doubt and hurtful thoughts about ourselves time and time again, and we don't believe in ourselves. But now when you see someone come back from that,
oh my gosh,
it is the coolest.
Hayden, I want to be Hayden for Halloween.
What?
I want to be him when I grow up. Like,
and he is famous enough that
I have a Hayden poster on my wall.
They're like, oh, you're dressed as Hayden.
And that, yeah, I bet people would be like, oh my gosh.
Aren't you
Hayden from the podcast? You nailed it.
No, but
I gotta work on my pecs and stuff, but I'll get there.
The biceps, legit. Cody pointed at his biceps in the middle of recording.
I couldn't look at anything else.
It was amazing. But I will say, in what you're saying here, is I 100% agree. The people that are associated with this, what are the coolest people in the world? There's not. You would think that, oh man, I've had this problem, so obviously I look at
the most
people
embarrassing,
differently. Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Most shameful issue of our culture and of our day, right?
Right. So you would think that we'd have ill feelings toward them, or like, ooh, I don't want to talk to you.
It could not be further from the truth.
It could not be further from the truth. And I hope that's the case, because I am one of them,
yeah.
Right? I am one of these. Well,
and just what Hayden spoke to us about last week, about just embracing pain and getting... like preferring discomfort to comfort. The whole cold shower thing.
Oh, that's the coolest.
Chills, man.
Have you?
What's that?
Did you take one?
I chickened out a little bit, but it's coming.
I took one, but it was because I had just worked out and I was super hot. So it really wasn't that bad.
It
felt really good.
I can take them in the summer.
Yeah.
I can't take them
in the winter.
It's way too cold.
That extra voice you just heard is our good friend that's joining our show today, Josh.
Yes.
Josh is going to share with us a lot about efficiency mechanisms and how to retrain our brains to find new paths of least resistance. He's got a lot of cool experiences, things that he's employed in his own fight to take us there. So gear up for that. We're going to be talking about that this week.
And I feel like it ties in perfectly to Hayden's episode. I feel like this is like a part two.
Mm.
It's going to be tasty. Okay. Is that the right word?
It's going to be tasty. Tasty.
But seriously, welcome, Josh.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Yes. It's so good to be here.
Dude.
Good, man.
Thank you for being here.
Being here, I've got a huge smile on my face. Seeing this in person is so cool. You guys are awesome.
Oh, no, no, no. It's...
Well, thanks, man.
No, do you think then we should probably do YouTube then so people can see our faces?
I'm not ready.
It's a good time.
I got to work out, but I've got a radio face.
Maybe
and
like
body,
season,
but
maybe like season 12.
Season 12. That's what we're working
just
toward.
Just be on the lookout. Season 12, we'll have a YouTube channel.
Speaking of season 12, Cody Haas will probably be around. And here's a quick note from our sponsor.
So happy you're listening to the Eternal Warrior Podcast. There's not a week that goes by where a warrior hasn't shared how the Eternal Warrior Podcast has helped them win a battle. My name is Cody Haas, and I'm a licensed therapist who helps those dealing with sexual addiction, betrayal trauma, trauma in general, marital recovery, and mental illness. Over the years, I've gathered resources to help those who desperately want to get to a better place. If you feel you're in need, please reach out to me by calling 385-519-6089 to set up an initial assessment. Once again, 385-519-6089. God bless you on your journey, my friend, and keep listening to Wes and Spenny. And remember, if you're doing things like listening to the Eternal Warrior Podcast, you're increasing your power and resilience. Remember the power you feel while you listen to Wes and Spenny, and replicate it daily by going and doing the things they share. You got this.
Cody, thank you. Thank you, Cody.
I love Cody.
And if you were
isn't
here,
he the best?
I put him as a personal reference on my job application recently. So,
dude.
Ooh, there we go.
I asked him, he was like, do it.
I think everyone should have Cody on your resume.
Just
you know him.
I put him on my dating profile as a reference.
Wait.
My mutual account.
I know Cody Haas.
I know Cody Haas. He knows me.
And then... Did all the ladies
he knows
me?
I don't know. It's that's more impressive than I know him.
That's the thing, because you're in his group currently,
yeah.
Or have been, right?
Yes. I started off in Maurice's group.
Sweet.
Okay. That was really cool, and now I'm in Cody's YSA group.
Wednesday nights.
Yes.
So dope.
It's
Which
the best.
Was
that was our group?
Our group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
I missed you guys.
Oh man,
dude,
that was a great group.
How is that group doing?
So good.
Ah.
So good. Our last time, Cody got emotional, which there's been a few times where he's like totally like snapped. Like the first time that I saw that was like really, he was really into it was when we were talking about what pornography really is. He's talking about human trafficking and he got super passionate and it was really, really cool. And then last time, he was really passionate about making sure you're aware of Satan in your brain because a lot of the guys, including myself probably, were kind of more on the side of negative self-talk. I mean, like, I was doing this. And Cody, like, eventually, like, he was trying to, like, voice of Satan and everything, but no one would, like, say anything to him. Mm. So eventually he just, like, snapped and was like, guys, I'm sick of you not recognizing Satan. Like, I was ready for you to snap at me, you know, yell at me, you know, as the voice of Satan, you know. So that was really cool.
Yeah, because they're throwing it, I would assume they're just throwing it all on themselves.
Yeah,
they're
blaming themselves and
taking all the credit.
And let's
for this,
I
didn't even notice.
I know not like a lot of our listeners probably don't know what we're talking about. Mm. In a Sons of Helaman group, part of the activity that you do during the evening is you go around and you say your reasons for fighting, right?
Yeah.
And during that experience, sometimes maybe it's the facilitator like Cody or some other members of the group will say what Satan would say to you.
Sparring.
Kind of play that. We call it like
sparring.
Sparring, yeah. And so Cody plays a good Satan.
He's so good. Yeah.
He'll be like, he knows. It's not even worth it. It's, you know, you're a loser anyway. Girls are never going to like you. Just says a bunch of stuff that, like, and here's the thing too, is Cody knows he's a Jedi wizard, right? Oh, yeah. So yeah. he knows which buttons to press for each Absolutely. Person in the circle.
Yes.
And, it goes back to, if you haven't heard the episode with Maurice talking about warrior chemistry, is so you've got to respond and shut down those voices, pay them no mind, and connect to the warrior within. And so that's why we do that in group, why we spar, is to fight. You know, just like how any type of combat sport or military training involves a type of sparring. Look at, mm-hmm. think of boxing or fencing or something like that.
I do martial arts.
Okay, cool.
Whoa. Yeah, so we practice different ways, right? You hit the bag, you practice on people, you practice in the air. If you practice in, there's some guys that practice in the air the whole time, and that's not gonna do anything, because the second they meet resistance, like, they're not gonna be able to hit, you know? Ooh. So that's why I practice hitting the bag, is so you can practice putting power into it, right? And then you practice on people, because bags don't have arms in the way, and they're not moving. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't think,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People are gonna move on you, so you need all of it to build. So sparring's nice in Sons of Helaman, because you're hearing those lies that you hear in your head on a day-to-day basis. But when it's out loud, it's like ridiculous and annoying and all that. But
and it trains you to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
Right? It's like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You learn to ignore it or say, nah, shut up.
Right.
I'm talking, you know, stuff like that.
Yes.
And in martial arts, if you're sparring with someone, you're usually sparring with a partner, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't resist and you don't defend, what happens?
Get punched in the face. I mean, there's a balance. You want to be a good partner, so you let them do stuff, and then they let you do stuff to practice.
What if it's a competitive match, though?
Then it's intense.
You just get whooped, right?
Yeah.
If you don't fight
back.
Let
your guard down. And
it's the exact same with Satan. And so with what you're saying with Cody is he's giving you an opportunity in that context to, like, legitimately fight back.
Yeah. In a safe environment,
too. In a safe environment.
Yeah,
right?
You got mitts on, you got gloves on,
you got the headgear yeah. on, yeah.
So it doesn't hurt too bad.
It's not like a real dojo at Sons of Helaman, though. Like, relax. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But
it's chill.
Yeah, so the response that Cody as Satan is trying to get out of people is to actually help them recognize the enemy, mm-hmm. and then not take it. Not just lie down on the mat and get...
Yeah,
everything kicked out of them, right?
You got to push back.
Yeah, you got to fight back.
I have been there before, where I was saying my reasons for fighting, and either Cody or people in the group start saying stuff, and I shut down. Like, my reasons don't come as clear.
You get distracted.
I'm distracted.
Yeah,
I'm like, ooh, that's actually true. Dang, you're right. You know, like it's
not true, but, like, man, that's how he gets me.
There's evidence.
Right? Yeah. But even in that moment, not that it's true, I would say that in that moment when I'm not fighting back, mm-hmm. I agree with it, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
That's the scary part.
If you allow it to exist, it will.
Correct.
Right? If you don't address it, if you allow it to have life, to have breath, if you don't choke out Satan's lies.
Those in your head battles of him saying, oh, don't do this, you're lazy. It's like, yeah, I am lazy, I'll just put it off, Oof. You know? And you don't even think twice about it, but that's Satan. And you gotta be like, no.
It takes training, right? Yeah. Though it takes practice. And I think that's why today is so cool, mm-hmm. right? And why we're so glad to have you here, Josh, is because we'd like to get into the weeds, like the day-to-day, how do we mm-hmm. actually train ourselves mm-hmm. and then fight? But before we do, can we hear your story? I'm curious to hear, like, your beginnings with pornography.
Okay.
So how old are you now?
I'm 18.
You're 18, okay. Mm-hmm. That's right. Working on the old
Weber State
papers.
Go Wildcats. Yeah.
Wildcat. Get mm-hmm. out.
Yeah, I'm
almost, my soul.
I'm in my second semester at Weber.
Okay.
I'm doing a year before my mission. Nice. Filling out papers right now.
Let's go.
I'm ready. I'm so pumped.
Pray every night. Dude. You go to New York City South
or Mexico City Northwest. I would say the latter is probably.
I the longest time when people ask me, I would not say my preferences. Because it's like, oh, I don't want to get jinxed or
like end up in a down
third world like... country where I have to sleep on dirt and stuff. But like after talking to my cousin who went to South Africa and like a bunch of guys going, like, I would love third world. Like just the people there, dude. So much love and humility. Oh, like, so yeah, anywhere.
You got to experience that in New York a ton.
Sleeping on dirt every day.
No.
No, like New York's kind of like the capital of the known world. So I feel like they got a little bit of everything.
Right.
And yeah.
New York's crazy.
Mexico, dude.
You get the capital of
the capital
Mexico. Of
Mexico. It is.
Yeah.
Whoa.
La ciudad.
La ciudad de Mexico. Okay. So sorry. We kind of diverged from your story. Let's hear.
Weber State.
Weber State. Sorry. Yeah. I have to shout out Weber State when I can. Yeah.
Okay. So. Started, I believe, like, 7th grade. I don't know how old I was. I don't want to do the math.
12, 13, maybe?
Something
around
there. Yeah.
I was, like, 16, 17. Everybody's in a different place. Go ahead.
So, and I had an iPod, right? I got that for my birthday or something. And I'd use that. And I don't know. I don't remember the first encounter. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it popped up. I don't know. At some point, because I had no idea what I was doing. I was never taught anything. Like, even maturation, that all went over my head. Like, I didn't even remember. Mm-hmm. The first memory I have, I was on the roof helping my dad put up Christmas lights. And he got, like, the extension cord. He's like, in the female end. I was like, why is it called that? He's like, you went through maturation. I can't talk right now. You went through maturation, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, okay. And then he explained it to me. I was like... ooh.
You're like, wow, that's how it happens.
All went over my head.
That's amazing.
But that's funny that, like, your dad was, like, counting on public school as an institution of maturation. For those of you that don't know or didn't grow up in Utah, I think it's a statewide program. That, like, fifth grade, there's someone that comes in.
Give you a thing of deodorant.
Yeah.
And
it's like
a 2-hour slideshow about sex and bodies changing.
I don't
know. And it's like... it's terrible.
I was think there. It's so bad. I have no memory from it.
Well, that's the thing. I only remember
wasn't paying attention.
Me and my buddy Mo, we legit just giggled the whole time because we were like, what the heck are these? Like, we didn't really get it, right? It's like...
and they, that's it. Like, they don't do follow-ups. They don't do nothing.
No.
Nope. It's like one grown-up is like, all right, I'll take one for the team.
Yeah.
I will go and deliver this binder full of stuff that nobody wants to talk about.
No one's going
to
remember
it. Check off the box.
It.
And then, I think it's terrible.
Yeah, so that's maturation. Anyway, so I had this iPod, and I have memories of looking stuff up. I didn't know words to use. I just find it somehow. And
or sometimes, like, we've had other people on the podcast say, like, I wouldn't, like, explicitly look for something bad.
Oops.
But I'd look for something that I know was going to take me somewhere bad.
So it's...
you know, so it, quote, it feels, quote, like...
accidental.
Yes, it's like, oh, not my... man. And for those of you who can't see, which is all of you, we're air quoting.
Accidental. Oh, man.
Oopsies. Well, found me this time.
Darn it, I lost.
If you're still losing accidental, quote unquote, accidental battles, just know I've definitely been there.
We all have.
We all have, right?
We've all been there, but like, be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And like, don't do that anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so you're having these accidental battles or you're going through
and
this.
I was, it's like, young and I had no idea. I didn't even know it was bad. I didn't even know I was masturbating. Like, this is before puberty, so nothing happened.
Right.
It didn't work. But I was still... like, I don't know why, that just is what happened. And then I'm going, and so my family did foster care through junior high. And the first case we did were two siblings, and these kids were crazy. We ended up just going babies after that. It's like, just give us babies where they can't swear. And
dang. So
they were intense. They were really messed up. Poor things, but
dang.
Anyway, I'm pretty sure the older brother took my iPod, and I don't even know, because like, it was gone. A year later, maybe two, I don't even know, a long time after, I found it outside under a tarp. So it's been outside for years. So I was like, well, that's where that went. Okay.
Dang.
Anyway, so I lost that, right? So I didn't
have any. You lost that channel for pornography.
Yeah, okay. So I was off of it for like a year.
Okay.
Right? And one specific lesson in Deacon's Quorum that I remember, we were talking about pornography, and it clicked at that point. I was like, oh, that's what I did. And I was like, I had this knot in my stomach, my throat, like I was going to cry. I go out, I go to my dad, and I just start bawling. I was like, I need to talk to the bishop, you know. So we set up an appointment while we're at church, and then when we get home, I have the talk with him, right? Mm-hmm. Tell him what's going on. But at that point, I hadn't been doing it for a long time, so it was fine.
Right.
So when I had that meeting with the bishop, he was, you know, I was like, how long has it been? And it's like, oh, a year. I don't know how long. But it was at least
a
year.
Been a while. Yeah.
So he was like, okay, thank you for telling me. You're good, pretty much, you know?
Right.
And I was like, oh, so you don't even do anything? You just... okay, you know?
Right.
So that wasn't necessarily helpful because I thought, oh, there's no point to go to the bishop because he's just going to tell you you're good or bad and then not do anything about it.
So you were anticipating a consequence?
Yeah.
Like you had to like pay for your sin kind of or something?
I don't know what I was thinking, but something was going
to
happen, right?
It's like you needed to be in trouble.
Oh, he's
going to
pray for me or like do this thing to me and I'll be good and he'll heal me or something. Because it's like, oh, you need to talk to the bishop for serious sins so he can do some sort of thing to
and what is
cleanse
that
you
thing or like what is a bishop supposed to do? Yeah, interesting.
Bishop's just to help you get resources, be accountable. Bishop's helpful. Go talk to your bishop.
Yeah.
But there's not some juju magic prayer thing he does to cleanse you from pornography.
I think I assumed when I went to the bishop that once I had talked to him, I would never do it again. Like,
yeah,
I was like, good.
Yeah.
Like, I was, my fight was over. Like, it was.
Whew, I did it.
Yeah. I talked to the bishop, like, we're good.
It's never, like, framed. I don't want to say never, but, like, in my experiences, I don't feel like. I always heard talk to the bishop, never work with the bishop.
Yeah.
And working with the bishop, if you frame it that way, helps you feel like it's more of a process. Whereas talking with the bishop, it's an event. It's like,
that's good.
Just dropping all my, like, everything there, and then you're done, kind of. There's no, like,
you talk and
follow
that's
up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Work with the bishop.
That's better.
But in your situation, you have a talk with the bishop.
Yeah.
And then what was your journey like from, I mean, you talked to your dad, which is super cool. It sounds like you and your dad.
Yeah, both my parents were there.
Cool.
So they knew.
They went into the bishop with you?
No.
Okay.
But they've been there the whole time.
When I talked to them after church.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I met with the bishop later. So, but again, it's like, I haven't done it for a year. So I was like, okay, thanks for telling this, buddy. And I was like bawling the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
So that was that for a while. But then a while later, I think it was like end of eighth grade, maybe, that I got a phone, right? So ta-da, new problem. And at this point, I was either going through or I was done with puberty. I was probably just going through it. So, whole new level, right? So, there's that. And, again, I didn't go to my bishop. I didn't go to my parents. I just did it for a long time. Eventually, I don't remember what snapped me out of it. I think I did eventually go back. This was a new bishop now, because the bishop changed.
Okay.
So I had to go tell him everything again. And I did that, and I started working with him. Right? I'd go to him often, like regularly, like maybe once a month, I don't know.
Cool.
He would have the secretary
schedule additional
stuff,
appointments.
Additional appointments, yeah. So we did that, and he was the one that told me about Sons of Helaman. But for a while, I was like, I don't know. It's fine. It was more like, it wasn't, I didn't think it was an addiction. Because it was like, I'd lose a battle and then I'd not for 2 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. But that was probably more oopsies. I won this week. Like, I just happened to not lose. I wasn't doing anything about it.
Right.
It was just like you a were bad winning, habit.
You were not quote losing.
Right.
Yeah. I wasn't winning.
Haven't we all been in that mind frame too? Of I'm good. I don't need something. I don't need like a porn group. Like it's not that bad.
Totally. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
I think everybody that has gone to like some type of support group, whatever it is,
it's like, oh, those guys are worse than me.
That's the
I don't
thing.
Have it that bad.
At least I'm not that bad.
Yeah. At least I'm not that bad. It takes so much humility to like seek out community.
Mm-hmm.
And even, can I say, isn't it interesting that comparison comes up in that, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, at least I'm not as bad as they are. But who gives whatever no level cares. Anyone's at? If I'm in trouble, I'm going to need to get help. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm, you know, gone way off the trodden path or I'm just a little bit off it. I still need help.
It took me a long time to get to that headspace.
Yeah.
I think it comes when you're like, when you have to submit and accept that you cannot do this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. Yeah. It takes serious humility. It hurts. Just your pride is just blasted.
It's
the best though.
It is.
Yeah.
Once you make that choice.
It's good.
It's so liberating.
That step.
The beginning is hard. The initiation of that.
It's so hard because there's all this unknown. What are people going to think? What is going to happen to me?
It's so much vulnerability all at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're admitting something that is embarrassing and heavy and serious all at once. And you don't know anybody else that has kind of done what you're about to do. Maybe you have. Some of our listeners and some people that come to group.
Yep.
Like our story spans, like I invited you to come, right? And like we kind of started that way. But more often than not, it is something like this, like Josh's story. Yeah, like my bishop told me this, or I Googled it and found this, whatever it is. And all of a sudden you're like, am I going to a group of people that have this problem? Really?
Right.
I'm going to sit around in a circle and I'm going to say, hi, my name's Wes.
Hi, Wes.
Yeah.
And like, some groups do that. I know. And like, they're good. We don't do that at Sons of Helaman, but there's such a stigma associated with that, which is why I think, and it's all satanically driven, right?
Yep.
Satan's saying, like, this is, those dudes are nuts. They're clinically sick.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. And then all of a sudden.
I think that's what my dad thinks. Because recently I had a conversation with him where I was talking about, it's like, oh, addicts. And I was talking about addicts. And he's like, you're not addicted. Like, you're not an addict. I was like, well, you know? It's like, because his idea of an addict was someone who can't function normally, who like, oh, you can't do anything because you need your fix.
Like a junkie.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was his idea.
Which is accurate, but it also, there are
other... I feel like there's levels.
There are levels, exactly. It's not just those that are addicted.
Which is, you know, bringing it back to where I was at a lower level where I thought it was just a bad habit, but then I kept doing it for some reason. I don't think it was a habit because it's like off and on, you know? It wasn't continuous or anything. It was just like occasionally I'd lose a battle.
Yep. Well, on that note,
please
go ahead. I was just going to say, on that note, what's really cool about Sons of Helaman or getting like seeking help is there's an assessment. Cody says this in his ad for on the podcast, is he says, hey, like come in for at least an initial assessment so that you know where you're at.
Like, how addicted am I?
Yeah. Right?
You know?
Mm-hmm. And so there is that element of, let's just see where we're at and see what steps need to be taken to get to where I want to go.
You said something really interesting, Josh. You were talking about how it just felt like a bad habit every week or every other week.
And that's
I would lose a battle.
I was told
for like my some reason.
Yeah.
Again, air quotes, for some reason. And that reason is that is the path of least resistance that we've created is all of a sudden that's how our body, that's how our limbic system addresses our fight, flight, feet, freeze, feed, or breed response.
Yeah.
When we're in a position that puts us in stress or angst, whatever it is, we cope with it somehow. Everybody does.
Yeah.
We just happen to find a sexual release at a very young age.
And it has to be satisfied one way or another.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's either going to be satisfied in a healthy way or unhealthy. So then what was that like? You're now back into this, now back into addiction. They bring up Sons of Helaman. At what point were you like, no, this is something I want to get help with?
So it was a while. And eventually, I was like, yeah, I'm not getting any better with this. I need another set of hands. You know, I need help. So after talking with my bishop and my parents, we did set up that assessional.
The combination.
Initial assessment. Assessional.
I'm bad with words.
Apparently. No, dude.
I also mumble, so I was like, blah. I did that with Markham, and I went to Maurice's Thursday groups just after school, and that was interesting. My first day there, this one kid's like, so what are you in for? And that, like, I was so scared.
What are you like, in for?
The same as you, I guess. He's like, yeah.
Oh my god.
He was just joking with me, you know, but like I was really nervous with that. But as the group went on, you know, my nerves eased and it was really good. That was a good group. Maurice is amazing. That man, holy crap. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. He's
whole other level.
He is. All the wisdom and
Maurice is a man on a mission.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
The just like talking about, and he's real. Like the things he said, he's not afraid to, like he really lays it on you. Like when he was on the podcast talking about the drunk driver part, where it was like, whoa.
Heavy.
That, heavy, yeah. And he's not afraid to use that. And it's, some people need it. Like at that time I needed that. I needed a slap in the face to wake up and be like, this is a problem and I need to do something about it. And there actually is something to do about it.
Like, this is my life.
Yeah.
This is what I am choosing to do. I'm going to put my foot in the ground and go the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. Like it takes, oh man, but having someone like Maurice, I am proud to be part of his mission.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Isn't that cool? To like be part of what he's trying to just be part of what he's trying to do here. Oh man, that's a cool thing to be a part of.
It's an honor.
It is. So then let's dive into what was your experience like in group, and then when did you start saying, oh yeah, this is stuff that I'm going to start doing, and when did you start seeing the benefit of, well, that's a lot of questions. Yeah. But I want to know your experience in group, and when did it start clicking? Like, oh my gosh, this isn't me. Oh my gosh, duh, 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 here are the drills, here's this. Like, what was that experience like?
What were like your first big aha moments?
Mm. I mean, there were a lot of little ones, you know, so it took me 2 years in Maurice's group. And this was sophomore and junior year of high school. 2 years in that, and I learned a lot. Like I know the curriculum. After being in 2 years, like you gotta know it. I just wasn't applying it that much. So I was still losing, right?
Interesting.
It's like auditing a class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do that in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're ever in a university class and like there's an old person in the front row that like isn't doing any of the assignments, they're just there to audit the class. They just wanna be in on a lecture for whatever reason, like lifelong learning, whatever. But so like you can do that and like pay money to do it, but you don't get a grade.
Oh, so interesting. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah.
You can audit a course and you don't have to do any of the coursework. You just are there for content and lectures. But if you're going to get credit for it, you have to be tested.
You need to do the work.
Yeah, you got
to
do the work.
Whoa. That is, learning is not just hearing,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you can listening. Hear it. It's right. You've got to like,
there's a difference.
Listen, process absorb it, and then do something about it.
There's an application for sure.
Absolutely.
So then,
I wasn't applying.
So then what clicked and you were like, okay, I got to start doing this.
Honestly, I don't think it clicked till recently. So after 2 years, I quote unquote graduated because my parents were like, this is getting really expensive and we've got like other stuff we need to pay for and this and that. So it's like, you got to graduate. And if you don't, then like, we'll just, you'll just have to stop and you'll just have to go by yourself off of the knowledge you know. And that was scary. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll have to graduate and keep coming as a general, because after you graduate, you can come to groups for free.
Right.
And so I lied my way to a general, right? I was losing. I think the longest I went was probably legitly 4 or 5 weeks. Like, it was bad. I wasn't doing good, and it hurt when I got the ring. And my dad got me a freaking katana, to a general's sword, you know?
What?
He's like, a general needs a
samurai sword, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's
so sick.
Other than Heelys, that's the coolest thing I own. But like, I love it. I loved it, but it also hurt because it's like, I didn't earn it, you know?
Mm.
And all of senior year, after I graduated, I went, and then eventually I stopped going. So all of senior year of high school, I didn't go to group and I was losing, right? And it was not good. And it wasn't till the end of the summer, so it really hasn't been that long ago, when it took a few steps. First step, I don't know if it was the first, but one of them was Adam. He introduced me to the podcast. He's like, you guys should listen to this. And you should listen to this. These guys, I guess. And I did. And I binged all through. Like, I listened to it in work, while driving. I literally, like, all the episodes.
Dude.
So I don't think I've ever heard someone say binge.
I did.
In the context of our podcast. That's so fun.
If I worked for 5 hours, I'd get through a few episodes. And
awesome.
On the way home, on the way to school. I needed that, right? And that kind of started to get me out of it, right?
Mm.
And I hit a really, I think this is before Adam introduced me, but I really hit a low point. My parents took the family to a trip. We went to New York, family trip at the end of the summer. And it was a fun trip. I had a great time, but that was a really low point for my battles. I lost like several times every day while I was out there. And after that, once I got home, I was like, shoot, that was bad. Like, I felt terrible about myself. Like, I really, from then on, I was like, I need to kick things back into gear. I need to go back to group. And it's like, I'm not going to get any better if I keep this up. Right. So that's when I reach out to my bishop again. This is a new bishop because the ward boundaries changed. So new bishop. I'd been working with this bishop occasionally. And like through senior year, through the summer, we met and he knew about it and everything. And I was trying, but wasn't doing great. And I love this bishop. This is amazing. He's the one I needed because he really helped me and he connected with me better than the previous bishops personally. Like, they were awesome bishops, but for me, my current bishop is the one I needed. So I was able to come back to group. This time I paid for myself, right? Because with my parents paying
so much,
I didn't care. But with me paying,
it hurts
financially. It's expensive for me to go. So that was a good motivator. This is when, so a few weeks before this trip is when I started dating my girlfriend, my current girlfriend.
Let's go.
And that was also a contributor of how bad I felt afterwards, because it's like, I need to be good for her, right? And it hurt because
that's the ultimate litmus test, mm-hmm. if you're in a good relationship or not. Like, does she inspire in you your best self?
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the most important.
The most wonderful compliment she ever gives me is that she feels safe around me.
That deserves one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, or a two. Seriously, there's no better feeling.
Yeah.
Than having someone's trust.
Trust is huge.
And they feel safe. Obviously, physically is, you know, you want to be safe, but emotionally. Being emotionally safe with someone, dude, that's what it's about.
Oh, yeah.
So then that, I'm sure, you're paying for it financially. You have this girlfriend. I have
a girlfriend now. I've got people to fight for, me to fight for, because I just wanted to get my life together and this and that. So I jumped in the program, and this is when everything clicked. Right.
So what were the components that started clicking for you?
Drills.
Okay, let's talk.
Because all drills through the 2 years we talked about drills all the time, but I never actually did them. I never actually did flag pulls all that much. And I'm slacking on that recently. I need to get back on it.
Yeah, me too.
But that was huge. Actually fighting. Actively fighting, right?
Training.
Exactly.
You are literally in the trenches training so that when that battle will come, as it sure will, like it's going to come. Oh, dude, sorry. Keep going. I love it.
The whole 2 years, I took the easy way, right?
Audited the course.
I did.
Yes.
I didn't try. I was like, I don't know how to explain it, but I just thought there was an easy way, right? I didn't accept that it takes hard work. Once I jumped back in, I realized this is gonna, like, I need to actually try. This is gonna take hard work. And that's when everything clicked, right? That's when I started doing the little stuff.
Dude.
So let me ask you then, because I think this actually connects to a lot to what Hayden taught us last week. Do you respect yourself more now?
Absolutely.
Do you love yourself more now?
Absolutely.
Are you confident? Bad mama jamma?
Yeah, all the time. Dog.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
But why? Why do you feel that way? What's the difference?
Because I believe I'm a hard worker now. Right? Because
you've proved it.
I accepted it. Yeah.
To yourself.
And I did that. I kind of.
You did that and you do it. It's no longer talking with the bishop, it's working with the bishop,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You're in this process.
It's no longer, oh, I got to 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's no, this is what I do day in.
Give me 12 more. I'm never satisfied, right? You're at the top of the mountain, I don't care, give me another. Give me another. Seriously. Thank you, sir, may I have another?
Yeah.
Dude, that is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, talk about, can we hear about the drills? I'd be curious to know. Day in, day out, what does it look like to win? Not just not lose.
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like to win?
So it takes self-integrity. You have to build that because, you know, that's telling yourself, okay, I'm going to wake up and not hit snooze. And then you wake up and not hit snooze. That's self-integrity, right? I struggle with snooze lately, but...
Sorry, really quick.
Yeah.
Is that not exactly what you said? Sorry, I get so excited.
Spence and I just looked at each other and gave each other the most guilty look ever.
We did.
Just like,
dang it. No, but the reason why, though, that's so powerful is back to having your girlfriend's trust and feeling safe. Mm-hmm. It's the same with yourself.
Yeah.
You deserve to feel safe and to trust your own dang self. And that is the coolest, to be like, I trust myself.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what, when you
I
said
can,
that.
I like, can do go. Things.
Yes.
It's, I can fight. I can win.
Like, you are dependable. You are reliable. You're no longer scared of responsibility for fear of not coming through. you crave it because it is part of your DNA. Like it's who you are.
And I accepted that.
Yeah.
As this is how it is now. It takes hard work. It's like, I'm going to have to do these things, whether I like it or not, that pushing yourself. And I've,
so might as well like it.
Right? Might as well like it. Yeah.
And don't, I hit snooze, right?
Right.
I'm not perfect.
For sure.
But I worked hard to not hit snooze, especially those first few weeks. I hit it so hard. I did drills and I did,
what do those look like?
Accountability. So drills, flagpoles where you've talked about flagpoles on the podcast a lot, but drills.
Let's do a refresher though.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
So
really quick before we dive into drills, just know, and we had an amazing conversation about this before we were recording, but just know that an efficiency mechanism is what our brain wants. Mm-hmm. It wants to be safe. It wants to be comfortable. It wants what's easy.
It's good because that's how we got cars and planes and microwaves and refrigerators.
Correct. And it's like it's an evolutionary thing to keep us protected.
Imagine a river coming out of a mountain, okay? Or sorry, we're near Layton. I should say mountain.
Yeah,
mountain.
Excuse me. Sorry for that mispronunciation. Anyway, a river takes the path of least resistance every single time. It's going to go downhill, the steepest grade, the easiest course toward whatever body of water it's going to empty into. Our brain works the exact same way. Think of it almost like water running down a rain gutter or something.
Yeah.
It's going to go the quickest way to the bottom.
I just wanted to bring that context up before we go into drills. Like, why do we drill? Why
drills
do we
dig a new pathway for the water, a new river?
Right? Well, the current pathway too, we've got to understand is like, people mistake that pornography and masturbation addiction is like a sexual disorder. Every case is different, but for most of us, that's just a way that we've learned to cope with stress and anxiety.
Yeah.
That's our path of least resistance.
Yep.
Of, oh, I'm stressed, I'm disappointed, I'm sad, I'm going to go use my drug of
choice.
Whatever
your level two emotion is.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there is that satanic spin. Oh, I've been here before. This hurts.
Remember
There's
that
a
last
little
time?
Bit of relief.
Yeah.
Remember that last time? There's a little bit of relief.
How did I deal with this previously?
Oh, it was porn.
Pornography and masturbation. Then
it
like
works.
You enter
Let's
the catalog of like the flash and everything that,
exactly. So with that context, now what did your drills look like and what was the why behind the drill?
So for the drills, I had to kind of look at my battlegrounds, right? So room, bathroom, shower, right? All these things.
These are the places you would lose. These are the places you would find
Those
yourself
battlegrounds,
in battle.
Okay. Yeah. And I would set up drills for that, right? So like every time I walk into the bathroom, I throw my phone on the ground outside the bathroom and I do that. Or,
it's so simple.
I'd add in push-ups sometimes.
Oh, yes.
Throw the phone on the ground, do 10 push-ups, then I can go to the bathroom, right? Or the shower, I would leave my phone outside. I'd get a Bluetooth speaker and put on conference for the shower, right? Because it's hard to want to masturbate in the shower when
President Oaks is talking to you.
Exactly. So
now, brethren, you're like, sorry. I'm just.
He's going to be on the podcast next week. So,
Is he coming? Sweet.
He hasn't responded to my emails yet. But
dang it! But we're hoping next week,
President Oaks, if you're out there,
if you're listening to this,
actually,
President Ballard patted my shoulder one time.
Wait, what?
So,
dude, that's sweet.
You know Cameron?
Yes,
the big
of course,
one.
Big Cam.
Oh, big
he's
Cam.
On a mission
he
now.
Came on the, he came on that.
Yeah,
on
Dallas
the podcast.
Cameron.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's related to. President
oh, that's
Ballard.
Right.
So I went to his mission farewell. Super good. And at his house after, Ballard comes up and he goes, "How you doing?" And he pats me on the back, and I was like, he looked at me. It was so cool.
Dude, that's amazing.
That's super cool.
Anyway.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Back to drills.
Back to drills.
I'd set myself up for victory, right? That's
so
the idea.
How frequently would you do those things, like setting the phone outside the bathroom?
Every time.
Every time.
I'd go in the bathroom, yeah.
Okay.
Now, I'm bad with drills now. I need to revamp things. But this is, I hit it so hard when I started. I jumped back in, hit it so hard.
And it's interesting, though, that drills will transform over time. I don't necessarily have to do the exact same drills that I was doing at the beginning.
You change.
They have to be a little bit more intense.
They should change.
They should.
Reasons for fighting. Exactly right. Because just like we talked about sparring, mm-hmm. our enemy gets used to our moves.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay?
They've watched enough game film. They know, okay, right, in this bunch formation, this is a tunnel screen. Or if this guy's going to come in motion, it's a jet sweep.
We do
sweep,
the same thing with whatever Satan, you know? It's like, oh, he attacks with this, here's his lies. He does the same thing to us.
Okay, what's a question six?
That's a question six.
Prophesy.
Yep.
Is where am I going to encounter Satan next? Mm-hmm. How is he going to try and defeat me next? And you talked about it. If we're all honest with ourselves, we know these answers.
Yeah.
When is Satan going to get me next? You know what? At night when I'm lying in bed with my phone. That's when he's going to try and get me next. Like you can write the script. You mm-hmm. really can.
Yep.
And that's what we drill for, is we put ourselves in those situations and simulate it as best we can. And then instead of going down the path of addiction, because the brain will give us an opportunity to own the outcome a little bit more, we put a healthy response in place. And in fact, a drill is a proactive response.
It is.
So not really a response, I guess, like a proactive action.
It's a proactive action. It's a proaction.
Professional action.
I love that. Hey. The reason why I like the way that we say it's proactive is because then in the moment, in the heat of battle, it comes back to you.
It's the new path of least
resistance.
It's
the new pathway. And I remember, okay.
That trench is deeper.
Yes.
Right.
It's been used more frequently recently. And so that's what the path it's going to go down.
And think about these rivers, our neural pathways. That's what they are.
They are.
Does that you can strengthen neural pathways or you can neglect them and they'll get weak, mm-hmm. right?
Dude.
And you have to build these new ones. That's why I hit it so hard starting up. Is because that's what it takes to start up, mm-hmm. right? You need a river's gonna go. You need to
there's a lot of water coming.
I remember growing up. I grew up in Mill Creek in Salt Lake,
and Mill Creek,
baby. And my grandpa lived just behind our lot, and my grandpa had like a half acre lot, and half of that half acre, for those of you math kids out there, that's a quarter of an acre. He had a 50 peach orchard and a whole, like a giant vegetable garden. Dang. Really, really impressive. And my dad had a little bit of a garden in our backyard. And Emigration Creek? The Mill Creek, mm-hmm. I think, goes right parallel to my dad and my grandpa's properties. And so they would irrigate with the water, right? Mm-hmm. And my grandpa got, I think, like 2 shares a week. And sometimes when he was out of town, we would go over there and take the water. And I remember standing out there with a hoe in hand, and you turn the water in, and you just see, like, this water knows where to go. Mm-hmm. It just knows the furrows and the path that it needs to take in order to get to all of the plants, right? But things come along, right? Weeds get in the way. Rocks get in the way. Sometimes leaves would fall down and get in the way. And you need to clean out those furrows and keep them clean.
Yeah.
And that's where drills come in. It's keeping those pathways fresh and still the path of least resistance. And everything around it. And you know what was really cool is when we would rotate crops. It was a freaking quarter acre, right? But when you would plant in a different area, all of a sudden your furrow system's a little bit messed up. And like the first month of taking new water after that time or after that rotation, you have to be really diligent in digging a new furrow because it wants to go back to where it knows.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not going to dig a whole new river in one sitting.
No.
A little bit of water is going to come at a time.
But it's...
Can't go cold.
You've got to be crazy intentional though. Because the dirt is harder where the water hasn't been. Mm. You've got to dig your trench deeper and firmer. And it's amazing to watch how where the water used to go does firm up. And plants kind of grow around it again. And all of a sudden the water no longer wants to go there. Mm. and it's easier to go to where it wants to.
I freaking love that visual. Like, that is a beautiful...
Grandpa Stan, man.
Like you said, Josh, like, that's what's happening in our brains.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as easy to think about it that way, but when we put it in context of a river, we literally have to take a hoe and create a new place for the water to go. That's what we have to do with our drills, right? We have to create a new place for it to go.
From my own recovery experience, the coolest part about that is when you start to notice it. Like, all of a sudden, hold on, I'm in a level... Like, all of a sudden, you're aware of your brain chemistry. You're like, I'm at a level 2 battle right now. I now have choices.
What are you gonna do about it? Yeah.
And you can own your choices.
Yes.
And you can say, you know what? I'm turning my phone off right now. I'm going to go plug it in upstairs and go to bed.
Dude.
Boom.
All of a sudden, that furrow gets a little bit deeper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every time you do it, it's so powerful when you get to own it in the moment. Yeah. It's awesome.
It is. I would be curious to hear, how did any other principles help with... I'm curious, like, manpower, passion projects. Did any of these also support, or also... Where did those fit into your drills, to your building those new places?
Like the day-to-day stuff.
The day-to-day stuff.
Manpower is big for me because of all the time I've been doing this and losing. If there's a correlation, not causation, but correlation between not doing manpower and losing a battle, right?
Why is that?
Because it's those habits, those day-to-day things. For me, I really need consistency and schedules and habits to stay on top of things. Otherwise, if I don't plan out my day, I'm going to sit on my phone watching YouTube all day.
It's not just you, brother. It's everybody. Like, you talked about your trip to New York.
Mm-hmm.
You were on vacation. You didn't have to be to school. You didn't have to be to work.
Yeah. No routine anymore.
Summers and winter breaks were always the worst for me.
Oh, man.
Same.
For those of you that find yourself, what I love about the program too is it helps us diagnose our problems and our battlegrounds in a very objective way. We get to look back. So Spence, we've spoken, and when is one of my key loss times?
It's right after a trip.
Right after a trip.
Always. And like one time I brought it up to you, and I was like, I'm pretty sure this is like a pattern I've seen.
Yes.
And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know if you'd realized it at that point. I can't really remember the dialogue, but.
So yesterday morning, I got on a plane at 2:30 in the morning, Salt Lake time. It was 9:30 in London at Heathrow Airport. I flew 9 hours home. Okay.
Oof.
I'm dog tired.
You're exhausted.
Exhausted. So not in like a frontal lobe mindset, but like I knew this was going to happen, right? Knew it was going to happen. And I've employed some of the techniques that Josh has highlighted here of, okay, how do you prepare for this?
Prophesy.
How do you prophesy?
Quick.
Okay.
Q6.
And
Q6, dude.
So I spent the afternoon with my parents, and then I had a friend that had reached out, and a group of us went and saw the new Jumanji film, which I recommend.
Dude.
And
I haven't seen it yet.
We went and saw Jumanji at 6:30, and then I was so tired, I just crashed.
Went to bed.
It was awesome.
That's good.
Dude. I didn't have an opportunity to lose because I had a plan.
Yes.
I had a structure. I love that. Right?
That's the way to go.
We have to build an actual battle strategy.
Yeah.
And with that strategy...
You can't just wing it. While you're there.
You got to build a strategy. Unprepared. What that strategy entails, manpower, drills. If you can get something that you're passionate about involved in there...
Yeah.
Then that's not just, oh crap, I forgot to do this.
It's no longer a chore.
It's no longer a chore.
It goes from obligation to opportunity. You know, the whole mindset shifts of I have to do this to, oh, I get to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're no longer on the defense of being afraid of Satan's attacks, but we're taking the fight to him.
Mm.
And we're taking back our life.
Yeah, what were you going
to
say on that?
Something you just said, I mean, that's how, like, trainers, like, to get people in shape, they say you got to do workouts that they're going to enjoy, otherwise they're just going to give it up. Because if it's really hard and really frustrating and they don't like doing squats or whatever, then don't do squats. Have them do something they enjoy doing, but still keeping them active so that they can be consistent with it.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
So you brought up accountability as well as part of your day-to-day strategy. Yeah. What does that look like?
My A goal was action/accountability, right? Cool. So so action, drills and stuff, right?
Yep.
Accountability, every night I would text my girlfriend whether I won or not, right?
Makes it real, dude.
It does. That was a huge reason.
And she expects it, right?
Yeah, I don't want to tell her I lost. That would not be good.
You think she gets anxious when she doesn't hear from you?
Probably.
Right?
Oh,
yeah.
100%.
It's like, wait, did he just lose or did he forget? Or
like, did he lose and he doesn't want to tell me because he's afraid? Like, mm-hmm. That's exactly where her mind's going to go.
Yeah.
That's so...
You think twice, man.
Yeah, you need accountability. Get an accountability partner, whether it be someone else at group. You can ask a general,
Email us. So, we had someone email us this past week, like, hey, I need help with an accountability partner.
That's true.
Boom. And we were able to help them. We got them hooked up with, I think, Lane.
Sick.
Ooh, but we also said, hey, like, think of people in your life that you don't want to disappoint.
Yeah.
That's parents. The thing. If the accountability partner is someone that you can't, if you wouldn't be able to look them in the eye and say, hey, I lost.
That's who you want.
That's who you
I
want.
I mean, she's so supportive for me. Obviously, like, telling her... like I actually had a speed bump. Like, so I, after getting back with Cody, I went straight to 12 weeks cause I was working that hard. Right.
You know.
I had all the knowledge. I just needed to apply it. Yeah. Right.
Do it.
So cool. I did that. And then it was 3 weeks ago, I think I had a speed bump and it was after slipping up on manpower, not doing that. And then missing group for 2 weeks in a row. Right. If he got me that first day that I didn't do manpower, I would, not done it, obviously.
Right.
But that whole 2 weeks of not getting that revamp from group and then not being consistent enough with manpower slowly, and then until I was weak enough and then Satan hit me with the temptation and then I lost, right?
Yep.
And telling her I was so scared, right? But she was so supportive and good about it and, but obviously... I still don't want to have to tell her. It feels so much better to tell her I won today than I lost.
Or what would you prefer, saying, hey, I lost, or hey, I'm feeling a little off?
Exactly.
I want to lose.
That.
Right? She'd like, much rather know
tell me before. Yeah.
Dude.
She was like, if you're having a rough time, text me, like contact me. Like I want to help you.
Which is hard because if you're down to that level 3, level 4, the last thing
it's hard to have that motivation.
It's hard to be like, I want to lose, but I probably should text somebody. But
another cool thing about group too, having that accountability culture, man, how many times, Spence, have we had guys from group call us and say, I want to lose. Like I'm struggling. Yeah. I want to lose. And we'll tell them every time, like, hey man,
you could.
You can lose if you want, but what does that say about you?
Right.
And you help them, you help each other own the process.
Choice.
Like, cause when you're in the midbrain, when you're in the addiction, you can't see 10 feet in front of you. You can't see
the future.
It's
what
you feel. It's all immediate.
Like. Yeah.
It's all feeling. There's no consequence associated. But when you have a warrior brother, you can call out to him and be like, dude, I want to lose a battle right now. And I'm headed there. And you can say, all right, man, let's play it out.
And that's hard to
do. What happens if you lose?
But the best way to do that is drilling it beforehand.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Because if you build that muscle memory, right, applying it back to martial arts, we talk about muscle memory all the time, right? Practicing a technique or something, people really struggle with motion.
Sorry, I just got really excited. Keep going.
People really struggle with motion in the beginning because it's different, right?
Right.
But then you practice it over and over again. You practice your stance, right? It's hard to be in a low stance, right? I struggle with it when I get tired. I stand up straight and, that's bad for balance and this and that. Anyway, so practicing going extra low, right? Further than I have to. That way my normal stance is about right.
You make practice harder than the game.
Yeah, that's what we talked about with Hayden.
Yeah.
So cool.
That muscle memory, I practice stances, I practice individual hits so that when I'm actually doing stuff, I don't have to think about that. Because if I'm in a live situation,
self-defense
stuff, I don't want to think about how I'm standing or how my feet are going to move or how I'm going to hit this guy. I don't already have that down, so I don't even have to think about it. He does this, I do this, boom. That way I can think about exits or, oh, he's got a buddy coming, this, that, right?
So
same thing.
We need to, we're going to bring Lane on for an episode about this, so I don't want to tease it out too much.
Okay.
But
tease me, baby.
He called me a couple weeks back and we had this exact conversation because this, what's happening, the limbic system is also used to our advantage. And what you're talking about there is exactly that. Our natural fight instinct, if we train it, that's going to kick in. Do you want to know why they train a certain way for people that are going to war? Because they have to train your limbic system to have to be fearful, like have experience fear and then have a, an immediate, without thinking about it, response. So that's where your limbic
comes
in.
When I'm afraid, I fight back.
Exactly. Like I don't tuck my tail. I'm ready to freaking
run,
go.
I go for it.
I'm ready to go.
No matter what. Yeah, I like that.
Your frontal lobe is gonna be rational. It's going to be thoughtful. It's going to think it through. No.
Future
planning.
You
need to be able to go. So the limbic system is a positive thing if we use it the right way, if we train it.
Yeah. Because if you're in a fight, you're not going to be thinking about your goals for the future.
No, you got to be in the moment.
Yeah.
You got to be present and you got to go
aware,
kick a.
Alert. Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to get beat.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really cool. We'll have him come on and explain more how that actually works. But I would be curious to how we make this sound. So I hope we don't, but it may sound easy, right? To be like, yep, I'm going to do these drills. I'm going to do my manpower. I'm going to not hit the snooze button. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. It's hard.
Yeah. It's easier said than done.
So how do we start? If you were, someone comes in, they say, hey, I'm really struggling, but they're at that point you were where you're like, I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those things that you would recommend to get started?
Yeah. So another exercise analogy, if you're teaching them a squat and if they're struggling, you don't put on 10 more pounds. Right? You're going to, okay, next rep, we're going to take a few pounds off. That way you can do it and get the form right. And then once you get that right, you know how to bend your legs. You know where to put your feet just right.
Your back is in the right place.
Yeah.
Right.
To set yourself up. And then you'll build strength. And then we'll put more weight on and you'll keep building strength, right? So same thing. If you're struggling, you can't go cold turkey. You can't jump right in. I jumped right in and did hard stuff because I already had the knowledge.
The form. You had 2 years under your belt. Like, this is completely
you had the form.
I'd fought before, but I wasn't consistent enough, right? So if you're struggling, start small. And again, you're not going to go cold turkey. I'd be really impressed if you did.
Right.
And
incremental success, right?
Incremental. Yeah, it's by degrees.
I can make this next choice.
Yeah.
If I can just make this one next choice.
How do we orient ourselves to where we want to be and then just take one step?
One step.
And then you take another one and then another one. And sooner or later, like, you're going to
pick up your pace.
My dad.
You're going to start running a little bit.
My dad always says, how do you eat an elephant? And you go, well, I don't know. He says, one bite at a time.
Got to break it down.
Yeah.
Break it down
with
some something
Heinz
more.
57 sauce. Goes great with elephant.
Have you? I'm sure you have.
57 sauce?
No,
you better believe I have.
Eaten elephant.
What's that?
Elephant? You've eaten it?
No. No, I've not.
Isn't Heinz
57
ketchup?
You just sounded like
ketchup?
You had experience. Yeah.
No.
Heinz 57?
Heinz 57, man.
57 is different.
Is that?
Does ketchup have a number?
47. Is it 47?
No, I don't know. 12. Heinz 57. Really? You guys don't know about this?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Is it?
Maybe I'm the one. Maybe I'm weird.
Oh.
No, I'm not. I've had this like recently. Anyways.
Okay. Increments.
Increments. Can I just say though, I did just recently watch Frozen 2 again for the second time.
It's a really good one.
It's a good one. Okay.
I watched it with
really
my girlfriend in the theater.
Really?
It was my favorite part was Sven's solo.
Oh, dude.
It's like he's with the Background singers and the
80s. That's like the 80s. 80s and, oh.
Where it's like layered video. I love it. Isn't that the tree reindeer? And then his face
so
close funny. Up.
Yes. So I haven't seen there's Kristoff.
Kristoff. I said Sven. My
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, Sven's Kristoff. The reindeer. Oh, dude. Have you not seen Frozen 2?
I have not.
You have to do it. All right. There's a moment. There's a crux. The reason why I brought this up was for the great 80s moment because it is fantastic and you got to see it. And Ash won't stop listening to the song. It's really good. Yeah. The other part, though, there's a moment where Anna is up against insurmountable odds, as we are, right, with addiction. And she says, just break it down to this next choice, this next step. And I know this is like the next one that I can take. Like, I can do this. I can do at least this. And then from there, I'm not sure, but I'll take it. And I know that's so cliche, but the way that it was presented in Frozen 2, I really liked.
I'm glad that we could get a Frozen analogy in the
you have to.
Porn recovery podcast.
Just, I think that's where Maurice got a lot of the source is from Frozen, I'm pretty sure.
I can see it.
I cannot contribute to this conversation. This is too weird.
No,
sorry.
Here's the thing, Josh, this has been amazing.
Yeah.
Just thank you for that, because I think anyone listening knows if they're at that point where they need to make a lot of change, or if they've been there before, they know that it is, you got to break it down, make it simple, but build a strategy, right? Say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make intentional choices.
Yeah. This isn't just like white knuckle recovery.
No.
This is strategic. It's tactical. It's planned success. Yes.
You got to take it one day at a time.
Yeah. Yep.
Do the little stuff. And then you can work your way up.
Mm-hmm. And then,
if your life is a mess, you can't just like fix it.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be one quick.
It takes a long time.
It is.
Like if you're in debt or something, like it takes a while.
Yep.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
Hey.
But Spence.
But it was built.
It was built every single day.
Yeah. Ooh.
Rome wasn't built in a day, but you better believe they were working on it every single day.
Brick by brick.
Brick by brick.
One brick at a time.
Let's go.
So start today.
Yeah. Just lay one
brick today. And then the only thing I was going to add to this beautiful conversation is then plead to Heavenly Father above that you will follow through on that one step. Mm-hmm. Say, Heavenly Father, I've been struggling. Can you just please help me wake up in the morning?
Yeah.
Just as simple as that. I just need help to wake up. Once I'm there, I'll be much better. Or help me just have the courage to leave my phone out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
And allow his, oh man.
And ask him to show you what your brick can be.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
One thing at a time. God's not going to hate you if you keep losing battles. But you can... You know, you can start with something small that's manageable.
Yep.
Right. And then once you get that down, even if you're still losing battles through this, you know, God's still going to help you, encourage you. And then you work your way up to those tough things.
Bigger.
And then you become bad to the bone.
Bad to the bone. And we have someone here that is
true.
Oh, shucks. And
yes, seriously, Josh, thank you for being here. We've got to ask him.
We got to ask you.
We have to.
One last question, young man. You so bad. Why do you fight, man?
I fight for my mission. So that's at the doorstep. That's a reason I revamped recently. Because when I slipped up, I thought about my mission, but I still lost, right? Right after that, the following Sunday, I met with my bishop and we talked about my mission. And that became my strongest reason from that. The reason didn't change. My reasoning changed, right?
I like that.
So I fight for my mission because that's the next step for me in my life. That's where I'm going. I've always planned on going on a mission ever since I was little. And the time's now. My mission's on the doorstep. So no more waiting. It's here. I fight.
Oh, there's no more. Oh, but I can repent later. Or,
Mm-hmm.
You know, nope. It's now.
I have 6 months to go. I can afford a lost battle. I can't.
Nope. Like, let's get it now.
This is Doctrine and Covenants 31:3. Mm. Lift up your heart and rejoice, for the hour of your mission has come, and your tongue shall be loosed, and you shall declare glad tidings of great joy unto this generation.
Dude, so sick.
I got to do a
Okay, why else? Why else? You were going to say something else. Why else do you fight?
I fight because I need to, because I do. I'm a fighter. That's
who you are.
Who I am. I'm a hard worker. I'm a fighter.
Too much
presider,
strength.
Presider, provider, protector, right?
Let's go.
Too much strength. I can't handle it. Dude, Josh, you are an absolute muster, man. You are just a bastion of strength.
Whoa. That's know what that means. Word. Yeah.
A bastion?
A bastion?
It's like a pillar, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Sebastian?
Sebastian. That's what I was going to say.
You guys are thinking of the crab from Little Mermaid.
I also, bastion, it kind of, I thought you were going to say something else. I was like, bro, hold your mouth.
You guys, come on.
It's like, we don't
bastion, noun, a projecting part of a fortification built in an angle to the line of a wall so as to allow defensive fire in several directions.
Ooh. Whoa, defensive fire.
Let's go. That's some fire.
Or an institution, place, or person strongly defending or upholding particular principles, attitudes, or activities.
Mm-hmm. Bro, you are a bastion.
Thank you.
If anyone was ever a bastion, it's you, Josh.
I really appreciate it.
Tough bastion, man. Hey, and so are you guys out there in listener land. If during today's episode or any of our other episodes, you feel like, you know what, I'm ready to lay my first brick. I'm ready to take my first step in real recovery, hit us up. Come to lifechangingservices.org. Get in touch with Cody. Give him a call.
You can't do it alone.
Yeah, you can hit us up at podcast@lifechangingservices.org. Let's make some changes.
And please do, Josh, if I'm not mistaken, when we said, hey, reach out to us, because if you want to come on the podcast and you...
I've been wanting to be here for a long time.
We've been
wanting to have you. I was just too nervous, or Satan was telling me no or something.
Dude, I'm telling you, if thank you for having the strength to come on. Yeah. Like, seriously.
I'm so glad I did.
Oh, so cool. But if you're out there listening to this and you're like, should I? Do it.
You should always.
If nothing else, to meet Wes. There is no better joy, greater joy.
It's true.
Right?
It's an honor.
I'm definitely disappointing. But I'd love to meet you.
No.
Okay.
We love you guys.
We love you guys.
Thank you for listening. Come back again next week. And, yep, go get it.